again, my name is Bruce Nadine. I'm here this morning representing the Atlanta Avenue Corp. Atlanta is a world leader in energy resource recovery. That's going to be the focus of my discussion and my presentation this morning. I have with me this morning three members of the Covanta team. We have John Waffenschmidt, who is the Vice President of Environmental Science and Community Affairs. We also have Dan Caraccio, who is the Vice President of Customer Support. I have Mr. Jimmy Sweco, who will be the project manager for this particular facility. From the minor land development, that's going to be close to the council. The facility itself is comprised of about 30 acres or so. Again, it's a tenant Highlands Avenue. The facility, again, is comprised of 30 acres. It's a tenant in Highland Avenue. It's zoned M3 industrial. It has approximately 279,297 square feet of buildings, square foot of building coverage and occupancy. The land, again, is zoned M3. The property was approved for the energy recovery facility, which is currently there. Basically, it takes waste, municipal waste, and combust it and convert it to electrical energy. And it's been there since 1992. The zoning land use approvals were obtained from the city back in 1988, 89. I remember because I was the one fancy at the time. And the plan itself was fully approved by the DEP committee. And basically, was constructed and came online in 1992. Since 1992, the plant has been operating continuously. It has been taking in trash from this entire region and also out of state. And has, in fact, we've been converting the waste to energy. And that reduces the amount of waste that goes to the landfills, which back in the day and still today, and that these type of energy resource facilities are preferred. And again, Covanta has become a world leader in this particular type of facility. They try to become part of the community, they attempt to contribute to the community, and try to be responsive to the community concerns as they arise. And the evolution of this plan, I think, is proof of that, because originally there was a great deal of concerns, and there was some confrontation back in the early days. I believe Dr. Strand was one of the advocates that brought about a lot of changes. And changes have occurred, and they have occurred for the better. In any event, we are currently, again, licensed by DEP. We are regulated as to the amount of tonnage that we can accept. We are regulated as to the amount of the hours of operation, the type of waste that we can accept. We basically, and also the emission standards are set based on the air quality in the area, and those are the standards that the plan is tasked to comply with. And I will get into that because we have great compliance. And I produced an handout for the audience to indicate what the emission standard compliance has been for the last 3 years. And like I said, we will get into that once we get further into the presentation. And the projection on the screen will also address it. So if you don't have a handout, we will be able to follow by looking at the screen. The plant itself operates and has 100 employees. It generates over $5 million in host community fees and taxes and other income. It generates another couple million dollars for the city of Chester. So the total benefit for the city is about $7 million a year right now. Since its operation, the Covanta has paid under the host community fees, just under community host community other positive concerns and concerns. In any event, we are here today for a relatively minor land development application. And when I say minor, in the context of the ones there now, the 270,000 square feet of building, what we are proposing here is basically a 15,000 square foot addition that will be connected to the tipping floor. The tipping floor is that area of the existing plant where when the waste comes in by truck from it, it is dumped into the, it's delivered onto the tipping floor, and then one, and the tipping floor can accommodate, I believe, about 14,700 tons of waste. And then that waste is moved into the combustors, and it's basically the materials combusted, and the steam is generated, electricity generated. And I believe the electricity that was generated is basically over 610,000 megawatts on that cycle, so probably during the year, I'm probably just trapped there. But it's a lot of electricity. The operation is such that when trucks come to the site, they queue in the queuing yard and they wait for capacity to clear off in order to make the become available on the tipping floor, and then they sort of deliver the their loads on the tipping floor and then they leave. Unfortunately, oftentimes there's quite a few trucks there waiting their turn to basically deliver the waste. What we are, the current project is intended to address the waste that is coming from the New York metro region. And right now we accept waste from Philadelphia metro region, Delaware County, City of Chester. We also accept waste from Northern New Jersey, Southern New Jersey, and the New York metro region. There are other areas that come here, but it's all pretty minor, so they're not included in the list.
And is there anything that your current, that's currently produced?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what is currently coming here. So the question is, why are we, the land development proposal, again, involves 15,000 square foot building that's going to be built next to it, connected with the tipping floor. It involves a 1,000 square foot shed that will be used to repair sealed containers, and the sealed containers are the key to all of this. And there's also an additional truck weight scale that's going to be constructed for outgoing trucks. Because I believe currently there's only one scale for outgoing trucks, and that doesn't facilitate the exits of the trucks fast enough. So the second scale should help clear out the trucks idling and sitting around in the facility.
So you have one scale
yes.
coming in?
No, we have one scale going out from two in, one out.
Two in, one out. But the trucks are weighed when they come in. They might have to weigh on the exit.
Exactly. It's highly regulated and we have to report all the weight to the trucks. Again, the other improvements are again some miscellaneous paving and stormwater management facilities. So those are the improvements. And the question is, what do we need them for? Basically, in order to understand what's happening, we have to understand our delivery system for the site from the New York Metro Waste. And basically right now, all the waste comes in open trailers with mesh covering, canvas covering, but they're somewhat exposed to the elements. The trailers, basically, what we're proposing to do is basically replace the open trailers with steel containers. And in order to understand the benefit, I guess you have to see the current truck trail from New York that delivers the current. The current trucks from New York come down, I presume I-95, and they ultimately at 420, and these are open trucks, again, they're not close containers. They get off at 420, and then they hit 291. Kennington, Eddystone, and then they go through the entire city of Chester to the plant, then they turn into the plant, they wait in their queuing line, and until there's capacity on the tipping floor, and in the meantime, the, you know, those trucks are, again, are open trailers that just canvas on top or mesh. They're on site until they have to queue there, until again, the tipping floor capacity is available. Basically, it's a good system of delivery, but it can be better, and we're trying to make it better. And what he proposed here is to have the waste from New York shipped by rail on sealed containers. They're watertight containers, they're odor resistant, and basically they are shipped to Wilmington and Delaware. There's no rails coming into the site. I know there's been a lot of misinformation going around. There's not none of that going on right here. Although it would be bad if it would help get trucks off the site from off the streets even more. But what happens is the rail cars come to Wilmington, they have those sealed containers, and then what would happen is that those sealed containers would be put on trucks called load weight trucks. The sealed containers would be put on trucks called low boy trucks, and we have you'll see it on the right hand side. And the containers are slightly less weights than the open trailers on the left. But again, they're sealed, water can't get to it, you don't have the difficulty of trying to keep that open trailers completely from leaking and all that kind of stuff. And the odors are extremely, the sealed containers make it for a very odor resistant delivery. In any event, the intent is to have these trucks, these low boy trucks, come on site. They would then drop off the sealed containers on the site, and ultimately they would be stored in the 15,000 square foot building. The sealed containers then, at such time, the trucks can then take off. They can leave immediately. They don't have to stay on site. They're not idle. They're not waiting. When the tipping floor capacity becomes available, the sealed containers would be open, and the waste would be brought to the tipping floor, and then it would be, would be taken to the combustors in the same fashion. It's just a more efficient, it's a cleaner delivery system. And that's what this system basically does. Now, there are benefits to this, again, to this delivery system. Because number one, again, the trucks come in, you don't have them idling in the queuing yard, which, by the way, opens at 4 o'clock in the morning. The operations during the weekdays cannot start until 5 o'clock, and they normally run until about, I believe, 6 in the evening. But it just reduces the queuing of the trucks. It reduces the presence of the trucks on site for any idling and whatever. And it also eliminates at least this waste coming from Metro New York from sitting in open trucks, and we haven't had issues with odors, but it just improves that situation as well. The project will ultimately create an additional 8 jobs, and there will be 40 to 50 new construction jobs for the improvements that are proposed. The facility, of course, is improved. Also, the value goes up, taxes go up, so that's the cost for the city as well. But and the equipment can come out manufactured in the tri-state area. But the main benefits of this proposal is the operations. It becomes much, much more efficient and much more desirable. Now, I told you what this and not change the hours of operation or the days of operation. It does not change the tonnage that we can receive or will receive. It does not change the type of trash or waste that we receive. And basically, the only thing that's altered is the delivery system, which, as far as I can see, makes a lot more sense than having open trailer trucks on the site or on the road for that time. The basic, I believe that the, there's also been some concern expressed about emissions of the plant, and what we've done in the handout and on the screen, we have laid out what the past emissions, the last 3 years, the summary of emissions have been. And this is no, you know, this is no magical information, by the way. It's available on the DEC website. And DEC regulates this facility very stringently. It comes to, it comes on a regular basis to inspect, and the testing is done on all occasions. The, if you look at the standards and the emissions that are involved, then most of the emissions from this plant are ridiculously below what is permitted. And again, what is permitted has been calculated based on air quality and overall emissions that the area can safely address. But we are well below the permitted emissions for this plant. And if you look to the right, pardon me, my eyesight's not so good anymore. Dioxins, for example, we're 91.69% below what is permitted to discharge. Mercury, we're 85.54% below what is permitted. Particulate is 93.05 or 0.05% below what is permitted. Hydrogen oxide, we're about, what is that, 98% below? 98.99% below. Sulfur dioxide is 39.79% below what is permitted. Nitrogen oxide is 31.14% below. Cadmium is 96.17% below, and lead is 98.77% below. The plant is operated well within standards, and it is operated with an awareness that you know, we have to comply with these emissions. It's a matter of law, and it's also a matter of safety. We're very, the band has been very attentive to these matters. And even when there's been glitches, the responses have been quick and they have been addressed. DEP and EPA regulate facilities of this magnitude very, very closely. And as far as air quality, I don't know. I used to live in Chester, and I'm aware of also the air quality when I was back in the 60s. Frankly, I think the air quality overall has been greatly enhanced through the years by the regulations and standards that have been imposed. I remember back in the 60s when leaded gas was being used in vehicles, you could barely walk around without starting to gag. But so that this, the people that have been saying things are getting worse and worse, that is not true. And the allegations of, you know, polluting and doing bad things that aren't lawful, that's not true. This is a very conscientious facility. It operates and provides a needed service. Let's face it, you know, if you get rid of all the landfills, you get rid of all of the energy resource recovery facilities, where's the trash going? You can't dump it in the ocean. This is one of the most technologically approved methodologies of handling waste. It's also creates replenishable energy. It is a good solution, and it has been in place for 22 years, and it has been operating in a lawful manner, and is currently well within standards for our position. Now, there have been a number of community comments and concerns. Again, a lot of it has been due to misinformation that's been put out there. For example, the project will increase the amount of waste that's going to be received here. No, that's not going to happen. The plant's got a particular capacity, and they can't go beyond that capacity physically. Not just the permitting capacity, but the physical plant capacity has been reached, and they have been operating at close to 100% all along. So there's no more waste that's going to be increased, nor will we be increasing or changing the operating hours. The operating hours are, as I've indicated, I think the money for privacy. Again, not true. The trucks that were, the same number of trucks that reach the facility will be coming to the facility, except for about 4 or 5 trucks per day, which makes up the difference in the size of the sealed containers versus the open trucks that currently are coming to the site. As I told you before, they carry a little bit more waste. Not much, but a little bit more. So. The benefit, I think, of the sealed containers and the new truck we delivered far outweighs those 3 or 4 or 5 trucks per day. Because, as I said, currently the trucks from New York, they go all for the entire length of 291 through the city. With this new truck from Wilmington, they'll be sealed containers, and basically they get off of the Commodore, or they get off the line and follow the Commodore Bridge. Over, they get off the ramps, and they turn left on 291, and then 2-3 blocks there at the plant. So that's the major improvement. Finally, it was stated that the facility is not transparent on its operating plan changes. This is ridiculous. The plant, Covanta has met as a number of community members and groups. They tell community. They have invited city council, they have invited interested members of the community to visit the site, and still urge what was he saying, that this is a minor land development application. It has major benefits, but it's not, it's relatively small. 15,000 square foot building, a 1,000 square foot shed, new scale, some savings, a sort of a net. The benefits, again, I think are substantial. And I have submitted a memorandum of law to the solicitor on August 4th, which I will request. That it be made part of the record in connection with the land development application.
Which one?
Big one.
Right here.
I have extra copies for the board, should they want extra copies. And I would also make part of the record the PowerPoint presentation, which I marked as Exhibit 3. Exhibit A is basically a brief. Those are my introductory comments. And again, if there are any technical questions, I will be happy to address them. Yes.
Are you attached to the scheme plan, or are you the scheme?
We are a trash the scheme plan.
So you're not the incinerator.
Well, you can incinerate or you can bust.
Okay.
Perhaps I'll let you know.
But I just want to.
Usually involve an incinerator and an energy from waste facility because you are going to combust the material. That's part of the process. That's what destroys the organic molecules, that changes those organic molecules into energy, which is transferred into steam, which is then made into the power. The way we try to distinguish the difference between calling something an incinerator versus energy from waste facilities that in the old days, meaning before the environmental movement, when we burned garbage in an incinerator, there was no air pollution control equipment, there was no recovery of energy. So the big difference is there's a lot of air pollution control in a modern facility, and that energy is captured and turned into electrical power. In the case here, 610,000 megawatt hours a year, that means that material is not made by fossil fuel, because that's what would happen if this facility was not operating. Right?
And can you, because this is just some of the concerns I've been hearing from the community, can you speak to the control that you have, like in the monitor, well, it's controlled.
I understand that, you know, the concern that people have raised. You know, the question that has been raised is there isn't a specific NOx control system, and there's not a specific carbon system. Those are the questions which have been raised. All facilities in the United States have gone through a process which was required by Congress and was directed by the US EPA. And that process is called the maximum achievable control technology. That means all the plants had to be reviewed, and the numerical standard was set based on the 12% highest performing plants. And so each facility needs to meet that numerical standard, not to put a particular type of equipment in. So in the case of this particular facility, which uses a rotary combustor, by its nature, it doesn't produce as much nitrogen oxide as other types of great facilities do. Since it meets the numerical standard, that means it doesn't have to purchase that reagent, which that reagent has to be made somewhere, has to be shipped. So there are impacts associated with that production. Since it already meets that standard, it doesn't require that. The same thing is true for mercury emissions. The theory is that in certain combustors, there's a little bit more carbon or a little bit altered carbon that actually acts to capture that mercury in the same way adding activated carbon would work. So same concept, if the facility meets the standard, and you saw here in the presentation there were 85% below that standard without adding the carbon, you wouldn't want to mine, you know, or produce that carbon, ship it, and all those other components. So it's really really the numerical standard that the facilities are held to, not what types of equipment they have. And to sort of use a common analogy, some people drive diesel cars, some people drive gas-powered cars. You have a slightly different, even though you have the same standard as far as emissions go, you use slightly different pollution control equipment to accomplish that standard.
And is it Delaware County Resource Recovery or is it Delaware Valley Resource Recovery? I mean,
Delaware Valley.
Okay, Delaware Valley. So you're not, you don't have an agreement with the county to, I mean, is the county involved?
Yeah.
The county, the city, and then you're regulated by the state and federal.
Delaware County, we have a contract with them, so we receive all of Delaware County. The emissions from the facility are controlled under the Clean Air Act. So the way it works is that it has both federal and state jurisdiction. Even like the federal government sets the initial standard, the states are the ones who implement those standards. They're the ones who come and do the inspections. They witness the stack testing. The data that was on that chart comes from, you know, stack testing, which occurs every year. In addition, the facility has a continuous emissions monitoring system that makes sure all those systems work, and that's 24 hours a day, 365 days a year.
And we do have compliance monitor people who have been trained.
Yes.
And they are compliance monitors here in the city.
You have monitors in the city. You have the state DEP that comes and monitors it. You have annual stack testing. You have the continuous emissions monitoring system that I mentioned, which is computer linked to the Department of Environmental Protection. So they can actually observe conditions at all times.
And they're trained to do so. They know that they're. And I just want to make a statement that the city is in the process of sending two people to school to become compliance monitors.
Something in a place that by being such a high chemical and things like if the open, and it goes into the air, pollution goes into the air, what is in place to say that in the next 5 minutes, y'all will be here to take care of that problem?
Number one, the current trucks are open to that truck. I don't think we've had any
I am sure in the United States there are trucks, there are garbage trucks that have been in accidents.
Yeah.
They don't contain a chemical per se to be released. It's not like shipping chlorine. It's the same garbage that's in each of our homes. So usually it's the same way that you would have any kind of vehicle accident. That's how a garbage truck accident is.
Well, I'm asking for the simple fact I live here. And I am concerned about what comes into our city and what goes out of our city.
I'm not going to cut you off, but I have here this issue I was going to address with Bovanta anyway, because as those trucks come off the ramp, my concern, and I can address it now, is that we engage with Bovanta and our emergency management Premier Fire Commissioner, Police Commissioner, in making sure we look at some specific ramp safety, because anything can happen in coming off those ramps tilt or anything like that. So I think that is a safeguard that we should sit down and talk about and look at and build in so that the commissioners and the emergency management people have some kind of specific plan
and these people coming in here, why even, I look at this thing, I went over there yesterday, why y'all putting that deep water? They know where deep water at. Down there before you get the sand. They got a whole plantation down there, ain't nothing there. Why they don't put it down there to Fort Wilmington? Ain't nothing down there in there, everybody. You got a lot of places you can put this thing, my brain needs to trust. Kids walk around there, they can't breathe. With no medicine, and y'all know that. A lot of them don't have no medicine. These people ain't gonna help these people. And don't care nothing about it. Why are you building in this back door? Why are you gonna bring us back door? Because we're the minority. And y'all have to wake up and smell the coffee. Because it's cooking. And they don't care nothing about you. It's happening all over the world, not only here. All over. Look at the way they did Atlantic City, when they built up Atlantic City. Go out on which country had it. And we can still over there in that little project. They ain't did nothing wrong. Look at Wilmington. What they did for them people in the project. Nail up half of them. When they built that casino down there, they said, what's going to happen? Right here today, when Chester people come to fly for jobs, they say, got a background coming. We ain't going to ask before they come here. If Jesus was here, who in the hell is man got for here? Huh? So you got to look at this thing more than one way, but 50 jobs ain't no job. Not today. We got millions of people need jobs. And they ain't gonna pay nothing no way. They looking for that $10 money. That's why they coming in these neighborhoods. That's what they're looking for. But y'all ain't looking at the whole picture. Now, once y'all make a blowout, when they burn this track, you got to blow a plan out now. You got to blow the stack out. Is it going to be midnight? Or is it going to be in the daytime? See, a lot of people didn't know what that no plan. I worked around plants all my life. You have to blow out the stack. Like the dust and the ashes and stuff, it got to go somewhere. Where you going to haul it at? See, y'all got to let this thing more than one picture, man. See, you got to, anywhere you burn trash, there's going to be ash. Where you going to put the ash at? The other thing you got to look at now, because too many kids running that sick. And old people sick. And they ain't getting no help. Now, that is like everything else around here. Look at that on the west end out there. Them trucks sit there all night long, 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, hourly. Where they going in there? I was down there yesterday and sit down there for 2 hours. And just look at them trucks. And some of them so stinky, you can't stand the sick. That could be the same thing, man. Take one of them trucks coming, God forbid, and turn up there on some Bill Avenue. Where them fellas run this truck today? You know who run the hazard way, man. I hope you know that. And when them fellas run them hazard way, they're okay. All they push, they get a load in and a load out. Y'all gotta watch it, because many people are gonna die young.
Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman.
Good morning.
Members of the band, excellent presentation. What my concern is the quality of...
Did you state your name and address?
I'm Lamont Muhammad, 928 East 20th Street, in Chester. Lifelong resident. But my concern is, and this is supervisor, I have a key here that permits that these levels of the toxins that are burned in the atmosphere are lower than what the EPA permit. My question is, has there been a study on what these toxins that are released into the atmosphere, what they do to the human being and its breathing? Has there been a study that has been sent forward? Because we have actual evidence of people having contrary dispositions and health issues as a result of many of the toxins that are burned in the atmosphere. And that's just a direct question at this time, you know, people can care to answer.
The industry, the energy from waste industry, has been studied extensively in the United States, in Asia, and in Europe. And sort of the simplest tool that they use is what the cancer health risk associated with a facility. And normally speaking, like a public risk, which would be any industry that you see around you, that risk is between 1 and 10 million. It's considered acceptable, and these plants are generally in the 1 answer it, I'd like to refer to a study that was done in Great Britain, which has a number of these facilities, and that their health commission concluded in their study that these facilities are so well controlled that there's no reason to keep studying them from a health risk standpoint. So, I mean, if, when you think about what that chart there and those levels were set so that if you were at the top level, you were acceptable from a human health and environment standpoint. And so what you really want is, and much of industry is, and Mr. Mancini mentioned earlier, that during the environmental movement, we made a dramatic change from the old, to Councilman West's question, the old incinerators had no air pollution control equipment, so all of the uncontrolled emissions went up. So when you look at a modern plant, the uncontrolled is what gets stopped by those air pollution control devices, and that which is released, but the numbers that you saw, those are the controlled emissions following air pollution control. Same progression as you've seen in automobiles.
Yeah, I have been told, and I'm not a chemist, nor am I one who has studied chemicals, but this nitrogen oxide has been associated with violent behavior in human beings that receive that into their breathing apparatus. And in the city of Chester, everyone well knows that the violence levels by young children are really off the chain. I myself, just on Monday night, witnessed 5 shots from 10-year-old to 13-year-old children, right there at 22nd. And it's something going on in the atmosphere that are causing these young people that contrary. There's many other dispositions that they have, but something in the air quality is causing this relationship. And that's why I present myself as a witness about what these chemicals do to the human being.
Thank you.
My name is Sheila Tyler, and I live at 120 Edward Street, Chester, PA. I would like to present council with a few things here, and then I would like to comment on Havana. I was in a conference, environmental conference last week, or a week, and since you all expressed that you were going to meet with us, I brought you back a lot of material so that you all could educate yourself on exactly what was going on. If you don't mind, can I just present this to you right now because it's heavy. I brought you back this energy book. I would have liked that with everyone back on me. But then I have all this material in here, and I have enough of these for everyone. But I'm concerned because Savannah has incinerators all over. And the one in Lancaster has 5 or 6 safety devices on it. But Chester only has 2. And I really want to know why does Lancaster, that's 90% white, and their income is 61%. And Chester's 86% black, income 33%. So can you just tell me why we don't have the catalyst and the non-cavernous, selectors for asthma? And then why is it that we don't have the carbon projector injectors for mercury and dioxin? Why is it that we don't have that? Why is it that you don't care enough to even put it on there? That's what I want to know. Why is it that we can't have what Lancaster has?
Come on now.
Why not?
Well, you have the exact same standards here as Lancaster has. I have presented you charts that show how they perform at the same level. And Councilwoman West asked the exact question that you're asking about the differences in the control technology, and I walked through it. I got to do that again, but that's the same question that I answered just 15 minutes ago.
We don't have it. We do not have that.
You don't have...
We do not have the carbon injectors for mercury and dioxin. We do not have the non-selected and the selected for the asthma. We don't have that. You have two, we only have two controls. That's all we have. They have five or six. Why is it that we don't have it?
Would you like me to answer it?
Yeah, I want you to really answer it honestly.
There are different combustors. This is used as a rotary drum. Lancaster is a reciprocating grate. Two different technologies to burn. When you burn in a rotary combustor, you don't produce as much nitrogen oxide as you do on a reciprocation grate. The level that they're required to meet in Chester, the level that they're required to meet in Lancaster, are exactly the same. The reason why you don't have to make urea, ship it over here, because the technology that you have for nitrogen oxide production is a better quality equipment. It doesn't require an add-on technology to reduce it. The same thing is true. I mentioned before that different combustors sinter the ash a little differently. In other words, the carbon that's on the fly ash is structured a little differently in each combustor, and some combustors have it so that it actually acts in the same fashion that injected carbon would act to take out the mercury. It's really put in for mercury control. It just happens to also benefit dioxin. So you, instead of focusing on the equipment, you should look and see what are the standards and how far below those standards the Chester facility is. And if you did a comparison side by side with Lancaster, the performance characteristics are essentially the same.
Has council went down to the residents and knocked on doors and asked them, what do they feel about this? And what's going on down there with them?
Let me just say this. Council has done various things. Some of us have talked to residents. I went to the plant. And first of all, I say this, trash stinks. The trash business stinks. But with that, there are standards that people have to operate by. The question here today, and with all the other things that we have heard, there's concern for quality air, there's concern for sickness to children, but the question that council has before them today is that this business is applying to make a change in their business, not to increase their business, not to bring what you have, but to make some physiological changes in the way they handle the trash that they're currently permitted to do. That's the question we can answer today. That's what council has before us. So all the other things are things that are associated with it, but the core thing here today is the question of whether they're permitted to make any kind of alteration, upgrade, thank you, Council, in their facility. So, but we hear all of those issues that are important to you, the public, and we have addressed them either individually and or collectively at some point.
Okay, so when are you going to do that?
We're going to make our decision today.
Oh, okay.
But we have spoken with Covanta about a number of those concerns. That's why they came to this presentation. And secondly, there are
safeguards that we want to make sure Covanta puts in to help. One of the things this community needs, in my own opinion, is education about who we are, where we are right now in terms of its positioning with with companies like Covanta, Pipeline, Green Technology, Zero Waste. We need more education about that and those particular things that you're pointing out, the conditions associated with having a community like that. So we certainly have addressed it individually and will also continue to address it with Covanta.
I had offered in the land council meetings through some emails and some public statements that I've made to meet with any residents that want to discuss the overlay. I would be willing to have several non-official work sessions where I can bring in the scientific papers, we can have the conversation, we can have the presentation over at the facility. We're required by law to have an open book, and I'd be happy to share that book with anybody in the city, or any other non-city residents that have concerns.
And I appreciate that, and in addition to that, in addition to the kinds of things that the Environmental Partnership has been doing, there's some other things I think that I would like to see Covanta do that will enhance this community-wide, but so that's...
Okay.
That's where we are right now.
I'm done, but I'm not pleased because I know they snake and
thank
I know you get I know they're getting over. That's it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Hi, my name is Kaya Banton. I live on 1001 Central Avenue, Chester, Pennsylvania. So are you voting today on the Covanta issue?
Yes.
Yes?
Yeah. Sorry, would you repeat your name again?
Kaya Banton. K-A-Y-A B-A-N-T-O-N.
Sorry,
spell it again. K-A-Y-A-B-A-N-T-O-N. So, at the July 23rd council meeting, Councilman Nichols said that they will hold a public hearing on the issue before. Well, we ask that the meeting, this meeting, be held in the afternoon, not at 10 a.m. in the morning, so that everyone can show up who wants to come. And you guys said that you were on a fact-finding mission so that you could hear both sides, including the Chester Environmental Justice presentation, before deciding, and not everyone on the council board has heard or seen the presentation. And any final decision on this ought to be publicly announced at least a week in advance so that Chester residents can show up and participate. The only warning on this was a Philly Inquirer article the day before the meeting and said that the vote would be this week, meaning today.
Okay, going back to your beginning statement, when we have presentations prior to council meetings, they're considered public hearings because we have them in public forum.
Yeah.
So this is your public hearing, so to speak. As it relates to information received and hearing both sides of our fact-finding mission, all of us receive copies of presentations from the Environmental Partnership and other organizations on both sides. We've all had serious conversation, deliberation, and debates about this particular issue. We've all individually talked to residents. We've all answered email requests, phone calls, and things of that nature surrounding this issue. We've had tours at Covanta, we've talked with Covanta, so we've done our due diligence as it relates to our fact-finding mission. And in your other statement about the week's notice, to my knowledge, it's been always understood that it was going to happen at the very next council meeting, which is today.
No.
So that was 3 weeks ago. Some things are time-sensitive, and the next meeting, because of how our council meetings go, the next evening meeting, would have pushed the timetable back some for some legal ramifications that came up with this particular issue. So we heard what you said, but again, it was never said that we would have that evening meeting. We never said that we would have that evening.
Mm-hmm.
me start off by saying that I've lived in this city all my life. I have five daughters who have lived in this city all their life. And I have 11 grandchildren, 8 of them who live in this city. Not one of them, by the grace of God, has asthma, emphysema, any breathing problem, weight, birth weight problem, none whatsoever. My biggest concern with my family and my kids is not what the Vanta does or does not do, because my understanding, as you said so eloquently, Mr. Mayor, is that they're simply asking for a land development application, and that is to make their facility even safer and better. My biggest fear is not the Vanta. My biggest fear is for my grandchildren, my children walking the street. And so, when we really look at this, back in 1992, myself and Reverend Strand and a handful of people stood in front of trucks, huge trucks, stood out there and protested and fought to make sure that the traffic thing facility would not come to the city. We stood out there day after day and sometimes night after night, and even were threatened with lawsuits. And I think it's because of the effort of myself, and in particular, Reverend Strand, the continued effort, that we now have a facility, because there were facilities there before, that were not following regulations or rules, that were not being regulated properly. But because of the effort of Reverend Strand, I'll be more particular, Reverend Strand, now DCP regulates Covanta continuously. We have a number of facilities in this city that are out of compliance, that break the rules time and time and time again, and folks don't say it. I look around, and I don't see anybody here with a breathing machine. Nobody. I know one person was asking, that's a good friend, Councilman Jacobs, and he got that from North Carolina. Not Chester. So I just want to say that I think that when folks, you said it clearly about the education process, there's Monroe Energy coming through with a pipeline. And Monroe Energy has sent out information to various communities to come out so that they can educate them on what is coming through that pipeline. Do you not know that very few, if any, folks have shown up to those hearings to find out? Too often in this city, and I'm finished, we wait until the train is pulled out of the station. This facility is here. Our job, and I've been in the legislature for 23 years, and I know it's the job of DEP. Their job is to make sure that facility is safe and sound, and it does not do the things that some of the folks have been talking about. I believe in data and facts. Data and facts. These gentlemen have presented today the data and the facts, and they're simply acting for a land development application. I would hope that we do support that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
I'm
sorry. Can we have order here, please? We're going to have to ask somebody to leave. We can't get order. We've got to get through this. Thank you.
You guys, I can start over?
Yes.
Can you repeat your name slow? Slaw Derrick Jones, 218 East 23rd Street. I just have a few questions. My first question is, how many catans can be stored? Of course, you're going to send it down.
60.
And will this allow more tenants?
No.
My next question is, how long before the trash has to be removed from the containers?
There's a requirement in Pennsylvania that any waste which comes off site, whether it's in a container or in a transfer trailer, has about 3 days, 72 hours.
And what happens with the empty containers?
They go back on when the truck comes in, a full container comes off.
And
What is?
My name is Tracy Confer, T-R-A.
Can you state your name and your address, please?
Tracy, T-R-A-C-I, Confer, C-O, N as in Nancy, F as in Frank, E-R. I'm with Energy Justice Network, which is based in Philadelphia.
I'm sorry, you are.
What's your address?
1434 Elbridge Street, Philadelphia, PA 19149. That's the address of Energy Justice Network, which is a national environmental group.
Can I want to hear the item? Are we people are not residents of the city?
You're not obligated to take non-resident comments.
We're not obligated to take non-resident comments. We want to get through this, so we don't want dissertation here today. We want to get through it. If you have a statement, we're not going to take time to answer the question. If you have a statement stated, and then let the next person come. We're not going to. Thank you.
One comment first. The EPA Best Available Technology Standards, which Mr. Waffenschmidt mentioned, are not based on health standards. They're based on what is economically achievable by the industry. So the assurance that they're meeting such standards is not an assurance of healthfulness. Another thing is that when DEP is permitting a facility, they don't consider the cumulative impacts of other facilities in the area. They only consider that facility in a vacuum. So the fact that there are a lot of other facilities in this area did not enter into the equation when DEP was permitting this facility and setting the standards. I have another comment. Lancaster, that incinerator is in the middle of a rural area. It's not across the street from residents. It's not in a town. It's not in the city of Lancaster. It's in the county of Lancaster, but it's not in the city. So comparing it to Lancaster and saying that comparing it to Lancaster because you're emitting, because you're meeting the same standards per tonnage is qualitatively different because this is a highly populated area.
I think we're getting redundant for the issue because they've already addressed that. And I'm ready to move forward. If you have nothing else new to add, I would say thank you for your comment. And I want to No. Let's be respectful. That's all. I'm going to say something. I'm going to address an issue. And I think that what I'm hearing is that there are a number of perceptions of what's going on here and about whether or not the banter should be here or should not be here. That's perfectly right. They're here. They're not applying for whether they should stay here or not, or whether we have a right to get rid of them, or whether or not we can move it to Lancaster or anywhere else. They're applying for land development change. And that's what we have to consider. So the assumption is that nobody else reads, so we have to have everybody else come and interpret off this board. I've asked black technicians, I've asked white technicians about the different types of plants, and the same question about whether it's two monitors or four monitors or four controls or five controls. You drive a diesel, you monitor it differently than you drive a gas, gasoline engine. That's the simplified version of it. So again, I'm going back to the question at hand of whether it's put in Lancaster or not. We're going to vote on what we have in front of us, and that's whether they have a legal right to do a land development plan in their plan. That's what we're voting on today. So, this is for agenda items only. You will have a chance to comment on the public.
what is the name, Covanta?
Yes.
What is that? Okay. What is the name, Covanta?
I actually know the history of it, even though I don't, it's supposed to mean a convergence of coming together between us and our clients. That's how the term was developed. They used to be called Hogs and Martin, and that particular company has bought a bunch of other companies, and I think they've been called Covanta since 2003.
Okay, so listen, my concern is COVID. Once you get your foot up in the coming, then what is to guard your maneuver? I'm saying, okay, I make this is the kind of way I'm questioning out now. But our concern is the long term. Okay, so if you come in, okay, as the president, mayor, and council will keep aware of the activity. Okay, so close. See, okay, we're going to make the effort to do it, and we're going to invest and do it. Okay, so my concern is, okay, what happens when if this happens, that you get in, then who keeps record, or how do we keep up as residents of your activity? Do you intend to increase what you're doing, or do you make you want to make it some bigger intensity where you're at now?
They just talked about that, but I don't know if there's anything else you'd like to add to it.
I'm going
to
say the same thing I said before, right? I mean, how do you do that?
Yeah, we do have a presentation, Mr. Salim, that you can get a copy of, and I think the answer is clearly that first of all, they can expand their capacity, increase their tonnage, because it's monitored by their permit from the Department of Environmental Protection. So, and they are at capacity now.
I've heard all that. Sometimes these things fall short. It might sound like this one is going on, but in developing something, okay, only thing that's going to survive is that it's happening with something else. That would change the standing of the president. I have doubts about it. I don't think this is going to stand in the presence of our board. And God tell me, yes, I mean this now, but God's sentence now.
Mr. Salim, I want to be very respectful to your opinion, but please give this part to the facts that we are presented with here. I think your question has been answered, and you will have another time, partly you can come back and you can state your opinion, but the facts have been answered here, and now we're getting redundant, and I don't want to do that.
Yes, sir, and none at all, sir, and I'll take that away. I just want to assure you, if you make the right decision, I trust you, and that's fine.
To the city is that our plans do comply with the city.
legal brief is binding them to have to say yes.
It's hard to legal argument. They're not, you know, they're bound by their decision. I suggested that in the legal argument that we're entitled to approve. That's, and the legal brief is available to you.
No, I just want to be clear so the people here can be clear that council's hands have been tied because part of this exhibit is the legal brief that's been given to them that he just said legally within the time frame. That's why we couldn't go to the 7 o'clock meeting for the vote. And now it's there, so the pressure's on them to give the legal evidence that that's going to be the suit that they face if they don't give you grant what you're asking for, then they're going to be sued as a city because of this legal ramification.
And basically, that's what it is. And rather us waste time, money, and energy on fighting this in court out in Delaware County at that.
No, we want to lose
the Covanta is well within their right legally to do what they have proposed to do as it relates to land development. That is the only thing that's before this council today is land development. There are strict laws that the state makes up as we took oaths of office to comply with. The PA planning municipal code, I'm looking at my two city planners back there, and those zoning laws are clear, cut, and dry. And the information presented, Covanta has complied. The only thing that's before us is a planning subdivision, and they are within our legal rights, and I do not, as a finance director, need or want to spend any additional dollars to fight Covanta in court for something that they are going to win anyway.
So that's why we should be true to the people and let them know that this interest in conversation that's being stated is not relative to the interest of the people and the concerns at all, because this is a legal matter that couldn't be won by the council nor finance to fight it with city money. And therefore, if there's not a good interest for the people, it's the interest for their business concerns.
It's not
that
there's not an interest for the people, but the issue, we have to be clear, is them to build something on their property. It's not about the health disparity. They're not asking for permission to do anything additional. That's if I wanted to build a shed on my property. If I'm within my legal rights, council would have to approve it.
Well, I understand, but I think...
Mr. Russell, yes. I think it has been a good thing for Covanta to hear the people and hear their concerns. And within our capacity to work with Covanta, then... I'm confident that we're going to address some of those concerns within that capacity and work with them. But it's in the resolution that they're going to be making sure that we have additional monitoring. We're going to make sure that we continue the communication with them, as Mr. Saleem was concerned about, when and if something changed, what's going to happen. So we're going to be vigilant to that. But we only can do what comes to us, and we got in this discussion before. This is a legal situation up here, not at the foregoing the concern of the public, but in conjunction with the concern of the public. And we are only can do what we can do at this moment.
So your hands are tied. We understand that, and it's known. And I would like to suggest the prevention, because in the process of them doing a brief for the people's hearing and understanding the newspaper articles and things they set forward, as far as their community relationship, That also should not be a farce or a breeze that just passes through like it's nothing, because really your relationship that you use as far as what you do approach Jeff Medical Center, the money that you give to them, well, you need to give to them because they deal with more cases of asthma than any other place that's in this state. So that's the help for that on the medical side, the same way the tobacco industry had to pay for the people to suffer because of what they had put into the environment. But at the same time, I said you need to make some real community partnerships, where your money that you actually want to actually affect this town, affect the people of this town, would actually be blended in a way that we can see some results that the people actually find benefit that we can identify as coming from you.
And that has been our argument. We just want you to know that has been our argument.
Thank you, Mr.
Russell.
And there are
community
partnerships that you have in this region that are
Yes, they didn't touch us. I read some of them. I read them. And they didn't touch the controversy. They touch other entities that don't touch us. They use us as statistics to continue what they're doing and move their programs forward. But they don't affect the people that they statisticize. So we're the statistics that they utilize, but we're not the people that actually get the benefit of what they statisticize.
Well,
tried to send you an email, well, from me to you and your group, I don't know if it got through your and if it's a different email, I'd be happy to send it to you again. I'd be happy to come out and meet with your group and try to, you know, address your concerns and questions. But I tried to email you last week, specifically offering things.
Can you see him after me? Okay, thank you. Thank you, both.
Scott Vitaliad, 2901 West Main Street. Statement question. I know at the city planning meeting, they talked about, as you asked, when did we get the idea that the card rails, rail was supposed to come to Chester, from Chester, so it was supposed to drop off the containers, then take the trash to other locations. I got that at the city planning meeting. That was how I, the city council planning, they rejected the idea of like bringing the car rails, the railroad rails here to Chester and dispersing the trash. He said now that the car rails are going to Wilmington, then bring the trash back up to Chester. And building this building, is there still a possibility after they build the building, can they still put in the application to bring the car rails back to Chester, then dispense the trash? You're voting on the building, the site for the building. from the planning commission, they flipped the script. Now the car rails are going to out of the city, then back, then the trash is coming back. That's what was at the planning commission. That's what I heard.
Well, I got the report from the planning commission, and that's not what I got. I got what we have here now, but since you mentioned the planning commission. Planning Commission couldn't vote on exactly what they presented, but since they didn't, they pushed it to council. So now we have to vote based on what.
But you're saying, after they build the building, it's still possible they can put another application between the trail. But they say, like, if they bring the trash in, because this is what I'm hearing, if they bring the trash in and ship the trash out, the city get none of that money.
They're not shipping trash out.
That's what they're saying now.
They're not doing it now.
That's what I'm saying.
I think when we ask the question, we get the answer. Yeah, there are conditions in the resolution that restrict them from doing things beyond what we approve today. If we approve it today, it's limited to that. And then if they want to do something else, yes, they would have to come back. And they would have to represent the zoning and make sure it's with planning, the zoning, and then again,
it started with the building, and it seemed like they just flipped the script to me. To get the building in, then they can come back with the car.
In my head, as I'm listening to this, we're going to eliminate 235 trucks that are coming down 291. First of all, and then secondly, and I was standing down there the other day when the trucks came in there, and no, it's not a good smell. It's not, to my estimation, the best thing that happened. So those mesh top trucks caused most of the problem. So that's not going to happen anymore. That traffic is going by rail down to Wilmington.
No, not all of it, man.
Thank you.
Barbara Council, 716, East 26th Street, Chesapeake, 19013. Number two, Alfred Sargent, 813 McDonald Street, Chesapeake, 19013. And number three, Jacqueline L. Parker, 2112 Madison Street, Chesapeake, 19013. Whereas after a thorough investigation by the Department of Streets and Public Improvement, it has been determined that the aforementioned individuals have met all of the required criteria and have a need for said handicap parking zone.
Misrepresentation, we're talking about Covanta representative, and a lie,
which nobody has refuted. This is a better delivery system, and we would be better off if all of the trash, and I think that's been hinted to earlier by Mr. Fareed, if all of the trash Covanta deals with was delivered in this way, in this fashion. It's a lawful request and proposal. I read the memorandum, and the memorandum is a memorandum of understanding. No, it doesn't bind us. I could sit up here and vote no. We can all vote no. But then they would win later on in court. It's wasting taxpayers' money. And we're stewards of the finances here in the city of Chester. The PowerPoint presentation that he gave, the gentleman that was with Ms. Holland, I asked him to send me a PowerPoint presentation so I could compare the facts. I distributed that to, you want to know what we've been doing? I distributed that to the mayor and council, or the rest of the council, and we went over it. There's nothing in it to refute the legality of this. Now, the health concerns. And I asked the gentleman that came with Ms. Holland, I said, can you draw, and they don't have this data, can you draw a causal connection? That means, yeah, okay, we got a whole lot of people getting sick with asthma and this and the other. But can you draw a connection between that and Covanta? Can't be done. Those are facts. So as a result of that, and I mean we all ask that everybody come in here and have their say and trying to make a logical, legal decision about this issue.
Disrespecting him when their trash is being burned.